Thank
morning,
y'all.
Tommy.
Don't start it. She's having hearing problems, y'all. The redhead. She told this morning when Brother John said that I would be preaching tonight, she said she thought she heard him say, Tommy. So Tommy thought that it was going to be him tonight instead of me. That was it. So anyway, it's me. It'll be those three guys, four guys. One to those four guys, they will be speaking for you very shortly. They just don't know when. But it'll be on a Sunday night, and it'll be good. So that's it. Anyway, what are some of the things that you think about when you think about God? Anybody? What do you think about when you think about God?
Holy.
Holy, that's right. What else?
Creator,
okay.
Good.
That's a friend. Everywhere, all right. Yeah, we're getting out some of those things. It was so unusual in the songs that she picked out tonight, or God picked out for them tonight, that some of the words in the songs are basically some things that are coming out of the scripture for tonight. And the only people that really know what I'll be preaching on usually is the Lord, me, and sometimes I'm confused, and Sandy the rest of the time. And Sandy knows about it because we get to send the outline to her at about any time of the day or night. And she'll often tell me, said, were you up at that time when you sent that outline to me? And I'll say, yeah, I was up, or I wouldn't have sent it. But anyway, I want you to think tonight with me for just a little bit about the God that we know. We know God is the Creator. We know God is being holy. But there's some other things about God that I think stand out, and they, most of these things were brought out in the songs tonight, so you'll think about these. But in Nahum, the first chapter, the seventh verse, this is what the Word of God says. The Lord is good. Y'all remember that while ago in it? He's good, good. The Lord is good. When trouble comes, He is the place to go, and He knows everyone who trusts in Him. Let's pray. Father, help us to know You better. Help us, God, to know more about You. Help us, God, to trust You more. Father, in everything that we do in life, let us realize that You have made things happen. When the difficulties come, we know that You are with us. When we're on the mountaintops, let us not forget how You brought us there. And even as we walk through the valleys, that we have the assurance that You are with us. Thank You, Father, tonight, that You are good and You love us. In Jesus' name, amen. As you think about this and you thought about the various ideas about God, and when you begin to look at the scripture, you're able to see all the things about God, and you think about that God is good. When I began to look at this, there's so many things about God that stand out. Creation. When you think about creation, you have to think about the faithfulness of God in creating the world. You know, think about that? God was faithful in making the world. Took one day at a time, put all those things together. If you remember the book of Genesis, what it says, He said that, and all these were good. They were good. The very last thing He says, all these things were very good. So we see God throughout the scripture as being the faithful God. And as He is the faithful God, and you notice what He says up here, He's the one who's good. When trouble comes, He's the place that you can go. And He knows those that trust in Him. Well, I began to think about all this, and the one thing that stands out in the Scripture, throughout Scripture, are the covenants that God has made with people. Now, how many of you have ever made a covenant? Three or four of you. Well, let's do the rest of this. Any of you ever buy a car on time? You made a covenant. Any ever buy a house that you didn't pay cash for the first time? You made a covenant. Covenant is a binding agreement between two parties, if you will. And one party says, I'll do this, and the other party says, I'll do that. And we bind ourselves together by that agreement. Well, here's the thing about God. God is a covenant God, and He is a faithful God to the covenants that He's made. And reading about this, and I'd never thought about it like this, but there are basically five covenants that God makes at various times in the Old Testament. Four in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. But as you look at these covenants, you have to think about how faithful God is in His covenants. Now, in the book of Genesis, the 8th chapter, you're going to find one of the very first covenants that God made. In that covenant, it was with a man named Noah. Now, you all remember that? You know what the covenant was that God made with Noah? He said, I'll not send a flood again. And remember what He gave as a sign for His covenant? The rainbow. Isn't it unusual that in today's society we have corrupted that rainbow that God made? That's a political statement, and I just made it. But anyway, that's where we are. But here was a covenant that God made. He said, I'm not going to send a flood again. I'll not destroy this world like that. Well, then there was another covenant. So that was Noah's covenant. Next covenant they made was with a guy by the name of Abram or Abraham. Genesis, the 12th chapter. You read that, it tells us that God made a covenant with Abraham. And God's covenant was with Abraham, if you'll be faithful and do what I ask you to do, I will make of you a great nation, and your offspring will be greater than the sands of the sea or the stars of the sky. Now, that was a real covenant, and that was a real tough one, because at that particular time, guess what Abraham didn't have? He didn't have a descendant, did he? Yeah, God, how are we going to do this? I don't even have any kids right now, but you're promising me all this. Well, guess what, y'all? God was faithful in the covenant that He made. Well, the next one that you'll find is that there was a covenant that God made with Moses. And He was faithful in that covenant that He made with Moses. And the covenant that He made with Moses is in Exodus, the 19th chapter, verses 5 and 6. But this is a covenant, and here's what is said in that particular passage. He says, now therefore, if you will obey My voice indeed and keep My covenant. Now what was this? He's making a covenant with Moses and with the people of Israel. And this is the children of Israel at this particular time. He says, and keep My covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto Me above all people. Now catch this. For all the earth is Mine, and you shall be unto Me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Did you catch that? Holy here with God. These are the words which Thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. He said, going to make this covenant with you. You'll remember that He gave them 10 commandments that they were to keep. Now, I'll be honest, they didn't keep their part, did they? But God kept His. So there is that covenant, the Mosaic covenant, that God said, you'll be My people, I'll be your God, you'll be a particular, you'll be an outstanding people, and they still are to this very day. Well, there was another covenant that was made, and that was a covenant that God made with David. Now, remember that it says of David that David was a man after God's own heart. You'll find this. Now, I think it's in 1 Samuel, First Samuel, the 8th chapter. The covenant that God made with David was that He would never take away from the lineage of David as being the king. Now, this is a real tough covenant, y'all. You think about this. David had a son, had several. You remember that his sons were not the best kids in all the world. They killed each other, lied, did all the things. But then he had one son named Solomon. And the covenant that God made with David was that his kingdom would stand. Now, Solomon messed up as time went on, even as the wise man. But the covenant was with David that He would bless David and David's offspring. Now, if you'll think forward for a little bit, there was the fulfillment of that kingdom in one person later on. Who was that person? It was Jesus. Because Jesus was of the house and lineage of David. So that covenant that God made, God completed his covenant. And God did what God said he would do. And then there was one other covenant that I kind of liked. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, and starting the 31st verse, is not going to be on the screen, but Jeremiah wrote about a new covenant. And it was going to be a new covenant that God would make with his people, and God would do certain things, and he would expect his people to do certain things. Well, that new covenant came about, and you can find this in the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter and the 20th verse. And this man brings this covenant out really, really strong because this man's name is Jesus. And y'all remember that Jesus instituted the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, however you want to call it. And when he took the cup of wine, you remember what he said? This is the new covenant. And what was the new covenant? It was a new covenant of blood. Whose blood? The blood of the sacrificial lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the only Son. So we find that God made covenants with people and that God has always been faithful in his covenants. Now, let's be honest. God's people have not always been faithful in their covenants, have they? Yeah. Mm-mm. How many times, and this is probably a tacky way for me to put it, you know, that a lot of times we make quick covenants with God, and I've heard this lots of times at hospitals. God, if you'll just let my mom, my dad, my son, my daughter live, I'll do anything you want me to do. That's a verbal covenant. Y'all know that? And sometimes we break our covenants with God. But God, in all things, y'all, is always faithful in his covenants. Now, some other things that are kind of important about understanding the faithfulness of God and the covenants that he keeps is in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, the 9th verse. We're going to pull two scriptures now. We'll do the King James, and I'm going to do another translation that I like. But here's what it says in King James. Know, therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Did you get that? He says, I'm not giving up on you. My covenant is going to be there. Now, from the message, or not the message, but from the Holman Christian Standard, here's what it says. Know that Yahweh, the proper name for God, if you will, know that Yahweh, your God, is God, the faithful God who keeps his gracious covenant loyally for 1,000 generations to those that love him and keep his commandments. See, throughout the Word of God, we are given the faithfulness of God, that God is faithful. God always does those things that he says he'll do. When I thought about this and looked at and what the Scripture says, there is the faithfulness of God in his calling. Now, you go back and you look at Abraham. He called Abraham and told Abraham that he would take him to a place that he didn't really know about. But Abraham, by faith, had to follow the faithfulness of God. And Abraham went where God wanted him to go. Abraham had to be faithful to God because God promised, I'll make a great nation out of you. He did those things. Now, here's the thing that you have to understand. God called Abraham, and God was faithful in his calling. God is always faithful in the calling that he makes upon mankind. God has called, through Jesus Christ, every single one of us. We've been called. Somebody says, well, now, I don't know that he called me. The Holy Spirit of God will speak to the heart of every individual. And somebody said, no, I don't think that he does. Based on the authority of God's word, Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't just say certain ones, but he said to all, come unto him. He's faithful in his call, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, the 9th verse, says this about the call of God. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What he did? God was faithful. He called us into fellowship, to a relationship with Jesus. Now, so much of the time we try and base our relationship with God on the church or with on what we do and things like this, based on the authority of God's word. It's not us, but it is the faithfulness of God that he called, and he has been faithful in his call. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 24th verse says this, "Faithful is he," that's God, "that called you, who also will do it." Now, I like the way Paul put that. He said, God is faithful, and when he calls, he'll also do what he says he'll do. If he said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," be assured of this, he will give you rest. If he says, "Cast your cares upon me because I care for you," be assured of this, he will take care of those things that you cast upon him. God is faithful in the call that he makes upon us. God's also faithful in the trials and tribulations, the difficulties that we face in life. And boy, in the past year, have we not faced some difficulties and some trials and all these things. How many of you enjoyed staying at home and not getting out? Nobody really did. But God was faithful through all the things, wasn't he? God's never missed a beat and anything's happened. Now, when you begin to think about the trials and the difficulties that come our way, and I'm going to be honest with you. When I think about 2020, if you will, and God being faithful, there were a few times that I wish God would just hurry up just a little bit more than what he did. But here's what it says, and James did this. James says this in the first chapter of James, beginning with the 3rd verse. He says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works," what's that word? Yeah. All of you who are overly blessed with it, go ahead and say amen. You're blessed overly with patience. I didn't think we were. I'm not. Boy, there are times that I'd say, "God, when in the world are you going to? Let's go. Hurry up." But notice what he said about this. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, not in God, but in us." We trust him. "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." The trials and the difficulties of life are designed. They're made for us to grow in our faith in God. Did y'all ever think about that? See, every one of us are not tempted, or we're not tried, or we're not tested in exactly the same way. But God can use the different tests that come upon us that will grow our faith, that will increase our faith, that will draw us nearer to him. The trials are designed. The trials come, and as they come, we're to obey God in all things. Makes it kind of rough sometimes. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse says this, "God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Now, the message did it a little bit differently, and I kind of like what they said, and it's easier to understand in this. In the trials that we face, the faithfulness of God, that God will be faithful throughout the trials that we face, it says this, "No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face." Have you ever thought you're the only one that's ever gone through this? Think about that. I'm the only one that's ever had this. Now, he says that others have experienced the same thing. All you need to do is remember that God will never let you down. Remember I said he's faithful? He will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limits. He'll always be there to help you come through it. Now, he says that he's there to help us come through it. See, so much of the time we want to do it on our own. And we start doing things on our own, we've taken away from the faithfulness of God. We put it upon us. But if we'll rest in the faithfulness of God, no matter what the test is that we face in life, he will lead us through it. Now, it doesn't say anywhere in there that he's going to make it extremely easy for us, but it says that he will be with us. He'll not fail. He is faithful in all things. Well, when you begin to think about how faithful God is, then somewhere along the line, and someone mentioned it as we talked about in the very beginning, we have to think about how powerful God is to help us get through the problems of life. I'm weak, but God is strong. But it is in our weakness that God makes us strong, because He becomes our strength. And this is the faithfulness of the power of God within our lives. I believe that you have to think about this. God is powerful in all things. Now think about that. In all things, God is powerful. There is no greater power in the world than God. Now I have to be honest with you. I think by reading after some folks, there are a few folks in the world who would not agree with the statement that I just made. Some people disagree. But here you think about this. God has power over life and death. Now, who gives life? God. Somebody's going to say, well, we had a baby. It was God who created it, not us. See, we don't have power over life. God has power over death. Somebody say, well, we're killing a multitude of people. God allows people to make bad choices and make mistakes, but He's still God over life and over death. God has power over the man-made kingdoms of the world. You know, God can even use evil people to accomplish good things. Did you ever think about that? Go back, if you will, to the book of Daniel. Y'all remember that Nebuchadnezzar was the king, and the nation of Judah, or the tribe of Judah, the southern kingdom, finally fell. It fell to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was an evil king, but yet God used him for 70 years to bring His people where they needed to be. And then God continued to use those kings to bring His people back to Jerusalem and to Judea. See, God can use various things because He is all-powerful. In the book of Job, the 9th chapter and the 4th verse, when you think about old Job, lots of things happened to poor old Job, but Job said this: God is wise and all-powerful. Who has opposed Him and come out unharmed? The message does it this way: God's wisdom is so deep, God's power so immense. Who could take Him on and come out in one piece? See, you can't take God on because God is all-powerful. God is powerful in all things. God's powerful against a few, and He's powerful against many. Thought about this, and there's two places in the Scripture that I'll talk about, maybe few, and we'll talk about many. How many remember this old boy that became food for fish? Jonah, yeah. Y'all remember old Jonah? God took this one man, just one man, and brought the city of Nineveh to repentance. Now, I know a lot of the story, but here's the thing about it. God took one man, and God used His power, God's power, through Jonah to change a city. And that city was Nineveh. So He took one man to change many. Well, then there's another story in the Scripture about a king named Asa. King Asa. Now, the Assyrians had gathered against Asa. And as they gathered against him, they were all outside of Jerusalem. He looked upon them. There were lots and lots of them. And the folks that were with him at that time said, Asa, or king, we can't take this group on. There is no way we can match them. We don't have enough people. See, that's our problem so much of the time. We look out at that which is around us instead of looking at that which is within us. John said, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So we come back and we look at what Asa said. Asa prayed, and in the Holman Christian Standard it says, then Asa cried out to the Lord his God, Lord, there is no one besides you to help the mighty and those without strength. Help us, Lord, our God, for we depend on you. And in your name we have come against this multitude. Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals hinder you. Well, think about that. Asa said, listen, God, You're a whole lot greater than what they are, and don't let us hinder you and keep you from doing what you know that you can do. Well, the message did it this way. You know, like the translation, then Asa prayed to God, "Oh God, you aren't impressed by numbers." Asa simply said, "God, it doesn't really matter how many Assyrians are out there. Doesn't matter how many of them are coming against us, because you're not impressed by numbers, nor are you intimidated by the show of force once you decide to help." God makes the decision to help. See, you got to think about this. God put that great multitude out in front of Asa in order for Asa to come to the place that he said, "God, there's not enough of us, but there is enough of you. And you're not intimidated by them the way we are. So we're going to wait on you to help us." Remember, go back to that thing about patience earlier. So Asa was willing to wait on God. Now notice what he says is this. He simply said, "Help us, O God. We have come out to meet this huge army because we trust in you and who you are. Don't let mere mortals stand against you." He said, don't let them nor let us come against you. But we realize how powerful you are, that you're powerful in all things. There's nothing impossible with God. And see, when we begin to think about God, the greatness of God, the power of God, we have to understand that God is powerful in all things. God can move your mountains when you're willing to call upon him. And so much of the time, y'all, we forget about the covenant that we've made. God, I'll trust you in what? All things. God, I believe that you can do all things. God can move whatever mountain we face. Because here's what it says in Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter and the 17th verse. For the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great, mighty, and awesome God. He's awesome. He is all powerful. The message does it this way. God, your God, is the God of all gods. He's a master of all masters. A God immense, powerful, and awesome. We've sung in times past, our God is what kind of God? Our God is an awesome God. That's who he is. Awesome in power. Awesome in all the things that he can do. Awesome to change our life. Then you have to remember this. In the greatness of God, and in the faithfulness of God, and in the power of God, God preserves us. God takes care of us. I want you to think about it, and you go back and you look at the history of the Israelite nation. Group after group came against them. They were divided time and time again. But God preserved them. God took care of them. David said, and this you'll find in the book of 1 Samuel 30th chapter and 23rd verse. David makes this comment about the preservation of God and how God takes care of us. Then said David, "You shall not do so, my brethren, with that which God hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered us." God takes care of us. God gets us through the difficulties in life. So I'd ask you this. How well do you know your God? Do you know the faithfulness of God? Have you ever tried the faithfulness of God? Have you really put God to the test? Somebody says, "I didn't think we were supposed to test God." Well, you test the faithfulness of God because you believe that God will do what he says he'll do. You believe it every single day. We follow God. We trust him. We wait upon him. And we see God do those marvelous things. You go back and look at the story of Asa. When Asa saw that multitude, he saw how powerful his God was. The next thing he saw was all those folks were gone, dead, because God took care of his problem. God will take care of you if we come to that place that we trust him every single day. Hope you will. Let's stand by our hearts for just a moment. The God you serve, he's great, he's faithful, he's powerful, and he's awesome. Let him be that way in your life. Okay. Hey, Glenn, dismiss us, please.